Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 484, Ultimate Halo, recorded live on May 21st, 2015. Hello everyone, welcome to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, BioWolf.
And we are back with more Halo goodness this week, as we just wrapped up an episode talking about one of the most in-depth Hunt the Truth podcasts that I think we've done to date, which I think is going to fill for a lot more content that we have for the 4 weeks leading up to E3, but we talked about that on their previous podcast, so go check that out, episode 483. But we have Haas in the hot seat with us tonight, and we also have a very special guest over from Ultimate Halo. He's been on the show once before, and it's good to have him back. Welcome back, Wang Time.
Hello, hello, hello. You all right? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How is it across the pond?
Across the pond in the United Kingdom, the weather is awful. And the people are equally awful, so not too great.
Oh. Well, yeah. Has there been Baltimore riots equivalents?
Not quite, but okay. There was a guy at the post office the other day. He was not happy. Like, he went to go and send a message to somebody, and the guy at the post office, he didn't know there was such a place called the United States. So he went to send his message. Like, the mail was written to this person in the United States, and the guy at the cashier, the counter, he didn't know what that was, and the guy was quite livid. Yeah, that's the most exciting it probably got around here.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. Anyways, we're here to talk about some Halo tonight, and we're here.
Oh yeah,
I know, right? we just happen to be a Halo podcast, you know, all that good stuff. But the last time we had you on was to kind of highlight your own personal stuff that you did with your YouTube channel.
Yes.
But you've kind of moved on to some bigger things as of late. So why don't you kind of give us the rundown? Yes. Why don't you give us the rundown of what you've been up to lately?
So basically, after my last hiatus, I came back with a bit of a vengeance. And I came back not as my own. I was just kind of, I decided that maybe my channel and my destiny on YouTube wasn't on my own, and I always felt better as a part of a team. So I thought, you know, I'd always ever been part of someone else's team, so I thought I'd make my own team. And we have just come out with an absolute bang. Like, it's currently now stands at me, Tyler, Halo Informer, Kenny, iSpartan Films, Austin Reardon, Jack, and Drew, and Jockey, and I think that's it for now. And we've had loads of help from various YouTubers in the past, but I mean, right now we're going so strong. It's unbelievable. It's so much better from what my original goal was with my channel. It's like an absolute dream, I think, that's going on.
Very nice. And your team is called Ultimate Halo. So what was the origins of how that came together? How do you pull all the resources that you now have to this kind of this? I mean, you're pretty much up there when it comes to like covering a lot of lore stuff, a lot of some of the new stuff. So what is it that kind of got you going in this direction?
Ultimate Halo was kind of like a project. So I was doing it for about 3 months before it launched. And at that point, we had a website, we had a forum, we had all that stuff going on. Especially, we were working closely with the Halo Archive at the time. And there was tons of behind the scenes work before anything actually started. I was finding help, you know, getting YouTube people on board with the channel weeks before it, you know, started, and getting people up to speed with everything we're doing. And originally it was just going to be like a new source for all things Halo. And recently we've changed our focus and we've streamlined it more, and we've atoned more to our talents. And I think it's slowly becoming more and more refined. It was a bit of a rough start. It was a really good start, but it was rough. But we all did a great job, and slowly this gravel was turning into nice sand, and we're flowing through not really nicely. Yeah. I think that's the kind of gig we got going on at the moment.
And really, Ultimate Halo is made up of a lot of different personalities, and I've had a
the pleasure of actually getting to see some of that change over time. And there's really a lot of, like, if you go to the YouTube channel, the Ultimate Halo YouTube channel, you'll notice that it's not necessarily one particular show or one particular brand, but it's really a lot of different personalities coming together to really make this hub of some pretty interesting Halo content.
Yeah, I mean, a really big point I was always pushing on my guys is, like, you know, show yourself, get excited to be on the mic, show some enthusiasm, because that's what a lot of people are missing out on when they record voices for their YouTube videos. Just, you know, get some feeling into it. Like, you're having fun. A good example is, if you're bored, your viewer's bored. So if you're excited, it gets your viewer excited, and it works. And then we have fun doing this. And I tell all my guys to be, you know, have fun, be happy while you're doing this, because this is what we do. We love doing this. And, you know, Tyler's got his great bubbly personality. Kenny's got his really sarcastic, like, awesome. And Austin's got his suave as hell. And then there's me, he's just an absolute maniac. And so we're not boring guys. We can be very boring, but we're choosing to have fun because we are having fun with making these videos, because that's what it's all about for us, just having fun and making some good stuff with the good game that is Halo.
And it's really interesting to see kind of, you guys kind of came out of nowhere, and you guys came out with a pretty big start, really.
It was, yeah. As I said, yeah, it was a lot. There was a lot of behind the scenes work. So we didn't just say one day, just, you know, like, we weren't just like, you know what, let's make a channel. And they were like, yeah, let's do it.
Right.
No, it was a very long time kind of process thing for me, especially for me. So we planned our launch and all that, and worked with other people. So made sure it kind of went, you know, it wasn't just a kind of a poof. It was like a bang, and people went mad. Like, it went a lot better than we thought. And a lot of those people have stuck with us, and they've, you know, they've accepted what they've loved, what we've given them. And it's bringing them back because they want to see more from us, and we want to show more to them. And I think it's always going to be on this bringing back on a bang. And we're like, well, we're going to keep banging. We're not just going to go bang and just, well, like, that'll do, make crap content for the rest of our lives. No, we're just going to keep like with the fireworks. That's what we want to do, I think.
There's a lot of stuff that's changed over kind of the past couple of months. There's been some website changes, some content changes. You guys are, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're with the Halo Archive, or you're kind of closely tied with them now, right?
Yeah. The thing is with the Halo Archive, they are writing our lore stuff. So whenever we have any lore reference or anything, they're on hand to, you know, make sure we don't mess up in our videos, basically. And they've done a fabulous job of writing the lore videos that we've done. And we like to help them out, just give them a little shout out every now and again. And, you know, I've worked with Mario, the leader, in the past to help them out with his website. And they are a bunch of awesome guys, really talented guys. And it's just like, I think working together is kind of the best way to make the best out of all of our talents, I think. Because we had the production, and Halo Archive had the written stuff, and it blended well. And while there's still loads more to do with them, we still got an infinite amount of stuff to do. What we've done so far is awesome, and they're awesome guys. And our writers that were on the website are now joined them, as far as I know. And so the news that we did do on the website is now going on their website. So we're trying to direct all of our old website traffic to theirs, just to kind of bridge them out a bit more. So in a sense, the Halo Archive is our website, but it's not our website, if you know what I mean.
Gotcha. It's kind of like a community effort.
Yeah.
So with all the different YouTube personalities on there, what's kind of some of the highlights that people, I think, that you think people will really find something to relate to on the YouTube stuff? Because you have stuff in here where you're talking about the different maps, you have your news updates, you have stuff talking about the weapons, Easter eggs, all that kind of stuff. So what's kind of the main go-to meal, per se, when someone's coming on the Ultimate Halo, the YouTube site?
I don't think it's specifically a genre of content, like a guide or a gameplay. I think I want people to come because of us, of our personalities, and like us as people behind the mic, because, you know, we could do like some really nice guides or some news and stuff, but we don't want to be remembered for that kind of certain thing. it's a bit different with my guides that I'm doing now. I kind of want to focus on the guides, but a big part of these new guides I'm doing are making sure that there's always more than one of us in the tutorial at the same time. So we're really back and forth with the communication, and it just with the fun, and we are gamers at heart. And the thing that everyone can relate to with Ultimate Halo is they're gamers too. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we don't play the game. We are playing the game when we have lots of fun. And I keep saying this, it's, you know, the thing that relates them is the fact that we're the same, but we've just got mics and make videos.
Right.
At the end of the day.
One thing that I don't think I asked you last time, but with how much content is now coming out, I think it's kind of relevant, but what is it about the Halo universe that really speaks to you? Like, I know when you first came on, I asked about your origins and what got you into Halo originally, but what is it now, seeing that the Master Chief Collection is out there and knowing what we know about Halo 5, what is it that kind of keeps you motivated to do something that's as extreme as Ultimate Halo is?
Well, I mean, my love for the games comes mainly from the lore. While there's always going to be parts of each gamer, every fan that doesn't like certain parts of the stuff they majoritatively like. For example, there's parts of the lore that I don't like. For example, the transition between Halo 3 and Halo 4, or the aesthetics change. They just chucked it all out the window. And that annoyed me. But I still love the lore. And, you know, even in these holes, I find myself bridging these gaps in the lore with my own kind of, you know, resolution to them. And it's not canon, it's just in my head. But I find that, you know, I can find a place inside this Halo game. And we all can while we're playing it, because you got the multiplayer guys that are having lots of, you know, being really competitive and fighting with their team to win and ultimately be the best at this Halo game. And then you've got the lore guys who are chronic, you know, they're going through all the details and getting really into the story. And then you've just got the casual guys that, like, you know, they just like to chill out and play the game. And I think we're all at heart got our own reason to come back to it. And my influence is just probably the love of the game. And I can't really put a finger on any particular point, because I love all kinds. I'm not really that big of a competitive fan, but I can see why people are fans of it. So it doesn't really apply for me. But as I said, it's a way that I can kind of fit into place with the game. And it's gonna probably mainly the lore, and that I can just have fun and just chill out. You know, that's what it's about for me. That's what brings me back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the reason why a lot of people come back too, is because Halo is so unique. Like, you have so many things you can come back to. You know, if you're not necessarily feeling like doing multiplayer, you can do campaign stuff. You can, like, there's tons of entertainment value between YouTube videos, streams, different things like that. I've said it before, but it's probably one of the most unique games out there, because you do have something that you can build maps on.
Of course,
you don't have too many games out there. Like, you don't see Call of Duty people making Call of Duty maps. Like, you get map packs, and that's the maps you get. Like, with this, you have such a creative driven personality. Yeah. Like, you could sit there and create maps that kind of interflow with different things. Like, you have people from Griffball Hub that made their own kind of, took over their own kind of competitive way of doing that. Like, that's a competitive way of doing, and it's just crazy the amount of stuff you can do.
I mean, among that, you've got Halo fans making their own Halo games they love it that much.
Yeah.
Like Contingency
and
all the Halo mods people. It's just unbelievable the amount of effort people put into this love for the game. And I don't think a lot of people appreciate how much it means to some people for them to go and do stuff like this. I wouldn't put a YouTube channel on the level of making a Halo game at all. That's just unbelievably, like, 1,000 steps and miles ahead of what we're doing. Because that's some serious dedication. You want to make something that contributes to everybody's experience, you know, in the gameplay. And that's just something unbelievable. And I can't fathom that. Like, I'd love to make my own game. But, like, that's just another realm for me. And that's what I love. It's just always something new to go, what? People have that, like, into it. And, like, that's amazing. Like, you never go, oh, you're sad bastard. But, like, it's never that. It's like, wow, like, fair play. Like, if he loves it that much, like, give him a high five or a gold medal. Like, seriously,
mm-hmm.
it's fabulous. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff. I mean, you have the one thing that really blows me away is cosplayers. You know, like the 405th.
Oh yeah,
you
definitely.
Know, you have so much. I mean, you have these people that dedicate hours upon months upon years of their time into something that they enjoy so much, and they're not getting paid to do it. They're not getting any sort of budget cut from like 343 or Microsoft. Like, they're enjoying it. They're putting out content because they enjoy it.
Yeah.
And they feel that they should put out other stuff. I mean, Pete the Duck has made countless game types I've enjoyed for, you know, custom game nights. Like, everybody out there that does custom game nights, like, that's a whole nother community. And it's crazy. It really is.
Like, for every subcategory of Halo experience, there's a community for it. And as you said, like, it's just like infinite. Like,
yeah, it's crazy because you have griffball communities, you have competitive communities, you have race communities, you have machinima communities, you have news people, you have YouTubers, you have cosplayers. I mean, the 405th is probably one of the most, I think, honoring things that you could have from the universe, because you have people actually going and impersonating those characters, making the armor, making the weapons, making that universe come to life.
Yeah. Well,
and it's not just that. It's like they put their own creative twist on it to make it their own characters too. I mean, yeah, granted, you have people that make Master Chief, you know, people that plays Cortana and everything like that. But when I went to RTX, there were so many people that took multiple like helmets and different things like that they enjoyed themselves, that they wanted to see. So, and they painted it, they colored it, whatever you want to call it. And they made it themselves, and they're their own unique character. Some of them have their own lore as to where they came into the community and from the games and all that stuff, which is really, really unique.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how things have come together in something that's been expanded upon and is so intricate in detail as the Halo universe. And just to have all this be able to be around. I mean, we've been around, we're approaching our 10-year anniversary as a podcast. I mean, Who would have thought that we would have been around for that long?
That's pretty damn impressive.
If you think about it, Halo is approaching 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just next year.
Is this episode 484?
Yes.
Was it? Ah, nice.
Yeah, 484.
That's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, it's just crazy. I mean, like, when I first logged in, or whatever you want to call it, I put the controller in my hand, I started playing Halo CE. I would have never have thought that there would be something like this. Like, I really did. I didn't think anything of it. Like, when I was sitting there playing Halo 3 for the first time on multiplayer, I was talking to one of my friends I still talk to today that is on the other side of the world. At 11 years old, you don't usually have that communication across in different areas, like, you know, France, England, Italy, different things like that. You don't have that. Like, you're younger. You brain at that time can't really fathom that. Like,
yeah,
everything's around you, you're kind of worried about what you're doing right there and then. And it's like, I was sitting there having a conversation with this guy, and a couple days ago I found out I was talking to an individual that was associated with Podtacular way back when. It's just crazy. It really is. It's a small world, but there's so much into it. There really is. And it really makes me wonder what's next as to what's going to happen with the community when Halo 5 comes out. You know, I'm sure 343 has some tricks up their sleeve that's going to introduce something new. But it just, to expand that, this is going to be crazy.
Yeah. Before we kind of move on to some of the news topic stuff, Wayne Time, what's one of the, or what's your biggest anticipation of Halo 5 right now?
That's a really massive question, I think. Right.
We like
Let
to
me
ask
think
the big
questions
this. Here on Podtacular.
Yes. I'm really intrigued to find out what Buck has to say and still know how big his role is in the campaign. With the whole co-op thing, you know, you each play as these four characters in this fire team of Spartans on either side. Is it going to be like a mission, like Master Chief mission, the Locke mission? I'm really intrigued about how the whole thing is going to play out. And, you know, is there going to be an Arbiter mission? That maybe there might be. There probably won't, but I'm hoping there will. But I know there won't be. I need to accept that. But I'm going to say there will be anyway. So, and because Arbiter's my favorite character, and I really hope he has a big role in Halo 5. From what I've seen, he might do. I just hope he's given more limelight, I think, because he is my favorite character. And I'm a massive nerd for him. So, yeah, that's my anticipation.
Yeah.
There's a lot going for Arbiter. We saw quite a bit of him in the Halo 5 trilogy, and that GameStop promo had the Arbiter in there in the background. People kind of found him in there.
No, it wasn't the Arbiter. It wasn't the Arbiter. No, it was not the Arbiter.
Really?
yes, after the 1,000 videos I saw on it, it's not the bloody art.
Wow. God's sake. Okay. Learn something new every day.
Yep.
Okay, even taking that out of the equation, you have the two cutscenes in Halo 2 Anniversary that were added to the front in the end, where he's basically going along the ride with Locke trying to find Chief. So I would find it pretty hard to imagine that the Arbiter doesn't play some kind of role in Halo 5.
Yeah. The thing about it is, like, because Locke was trying to find this guy. Locke was trying to find Arbiter to kill him. And in the Halo 2 terminals, you find out the Arbiter, he's killed billions of humans. Well, not by hand, but he's, you know, because of him, billions of humans have died.
Uh-huh.
And then there's this whole thing is he saved the galaxy as well, you know, with the Master Chief.
Yeah.
Although he killed so many people. And how is that? I don't know, I just want to see how that plays out between Locke, you know, wanting, you know, hunting this guy originally and him knowing that what he's done.
It's interesting.
And I guess all of the humans and putting up with that. It's a massive, I just want to know what happens with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
On the flip side, too, if you think about how many elites that we've killed as humans and how many elites that Chief has killed.
It's not quite the same as, but yeah, I understand that. There's always going to be bad blood between the two sides, but of course, Arbiter and Master Chief just, you know, thought, this is ridiculous. We've got to put all this aside and just like sort everything out. And that's what they did.
Well, another thing that pops up in my mind when you're talking about this, too, is it makes me wonder how much are the Arbiters going to sit there and go with Locke at this point too? Because he's hunting down Chief. He's basically said in the terminals himself, someone that I called my ally, my friend. How is this one individual that Arbiter has, he doesn't have a clue who he is. How far is he willing to go to sit there and basically bring down Master Chief, if that is the case? Like, there, you can't really, he's been with Master Chief fighting him side by side with all this stuff on Halo 3, and it's You can't just change somebody's mind like that quick. Yeah. You just can't.
And of course, there's so much that happens that aren't in the games. There could have been loads of moments with, you know, Master Chief and Arbiter. Maybe they would have even had like heartfelt conversations and all that, and maybe even gotten to know each other. It's kind of sounding a bit gay now, but you know, because the Arbiter makes out that he is his friend. And in game, you don't really see that. He's just your co-op partner or, you know, whatever. He's just the other guy. But, you know, there's a lot to the lore that we don't know about the Master Chief and Arbiter.
Right.
Because that's why I love him. He's a really, he's just, ah! Yeah, I'm just sorry. I'm just fangirling over him. So, yeah, and I hope all this gets brought out in the upcoming game.
And I think next to, like, ODST, Halo 2 was probably the most frustrating campaign, but one of the more interesting approaches because of the duality that you got to experience as you're going through the whole thing.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that. And I'm glad they're kind of bringing that back with Halo 5, but it's not quite on the same scale unless they do have Arbiter missions. But whenever I played in the original Halo 1, I always kept thinking to myself, like, what would it be like to be one of them?
Yeah.
And then we found out in Halo 2, but I want to go a step further. Like, maybe in the next game where they have, like, flashbacks and you are the Arbiter and you're just killing all these humans. And it'll be like the Modern Warfare 2 thing. Remember that? Like, where you're in the airport in Modern Warfare 2. You're going to mow down all the civilians. Maybe make it like that, because the Arbiter's done some pretty horrific things. And we kind of overlook this. And, you know, he seems a bit kind of like a nice guy in the games, doesn't he? He seems like a cool guy, but actually, he's pretty messed up. If you think about it, they both are.
Oh yeah,
I'd love to see like Master Chief versus Militia, or even his darker side, which has been coming out recently, and the Arbiter killing the humans. Yeah, that's what I want to see. I want to see more visceral stuff, and you know, it's just bridging it all out.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at it too. Is that they kind of made it out that the Arbiter was like kind of the victim in all this too.
Yeah,
you know, he's been marked as this traitor. He was marked as the Arbiter, kind of this thing. Like, he was a huge general.
Yeah,
and then he got demoted to like the lowest class you could possibly do. And it, like, you don't see the side that you're talking about, which is really unique, because I haven't really seen anybody really go into that much detail wanting to see that. They don't really care.
Yeah.
But there's more, like, there's always more to the story than what you're seeing. You know, we have, I mean, even Halo Wars, like, when you, I mean, granted, I didn't play too much of it, but, like, the Arbiter was kind of vicious when it came to Halo Wars, so.
Did you read the prequel book before? That was a book in the limited edition.
No.
He was taken out of prison because he, I think he led an uprising. No, he failed to stop an uprising. But the prophets took him out of a maximum security prison. So he's a bit of a hard nut. So that's why he's a bit of an asshole in the game.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. So more and more lore.
Well, and that Arbiter is not the same Arbiter as we know from Halo 2.
Oh, yes, no. Yes.
Different Arbiter. But that's just, I mean, just this conversation right here, that's one of the reasons why I love Halo and love the Halo universe, is because there is so much to it. There is so much complexity. There is so much diversity in the universe. And it's just, it's so amazing just to be able to talk about all this stuff.
I mean, the conversations could be endless. And, like, the amount of tangents you can go on while in that conversation that goes over and over. It lasts forever, it seems.
Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and move on to some news. Thanks, you, Wingtime, for talking about Ultimate Halo. You can go over to, I believe it's Ultimate_Halo on Twitter, if you guys are interested while you're listening to the show, and check it out.
Yes. Yep.
Just search for Ultimate Halo on YouTube, and then all your content is now, it's over at haloarchive.com.
It is indeed, yes, haloarchive.com. They are some very lovely guys, so make sure you all need to check them out. Even if you don't like me, go and check out those guys, because they're like the best people in the world.
We're actually going to have them on next week, believe it or not. Yeah, I think we're going to have Mario and a couple of the other staff on for our podcast next week. So
you're in for a good night.
Yeah, and I think we were in talks about partnering up as well. That's kind of halted for the time being, I think, but we might be doing some affiliate stuff with them in the future as well.
Nice.
And of course, I'll say this at the end of the show, but let's get on to some of the other news of the week. First off is the, if for some reason you haven't bought the Master Chief Collection yet, or if you're wanting a white Xbox One, well, then you're in luck. For a limited time only, and this was posted yesterday on Major Nelson's blog, you can get the special edition Xbox One, which is the white Xbox, bundled with a DLC code of the Master Chief Collection for $349 US. And then whatever that translates to in other currencies is doesn't matter, because it's US only. This was a bundle that was this was, I believe, a bundle that was previously available in Brazil, and now it's
was it the white Xbox One with Sunset Overdrive?
That's what we got in the US,
right? That was the US and the UK, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. But now, for US only and for a limited time while supplies last, sounds like a very PR moment. You can get the white Xbox One with the white controller bundled with a DLC code of the Master Chief Collection for $350. No, it does not come with Kinect.
I want that bundle for no reason other than it's white.
See,
that's racist.
Wow.
That was funny.
Are you sure you're not American?
For me, though, I everything in my entertainment system, even the stand, is black. I don't have any reason to go white. My desk is black, so black just
I just love the way it looks. Like, it wouldn't mesh with anything I have, but I just, oh, I love that white. But then, you know, four months now, I'll be buying another Xbox.
Yeah, the Halo 5 Xbox.
White PlayStation 4 Studio.
I can't. Two Xboxes within a year's time, I don't think would make a happy Haas household. So
I'll be getting it.
Yeah. Well, yes, that one I can get, but the white one and that.
The white one, gotcha. Gotcha.
I'd be pulling some hangnails that shouldn't be pulled.
Yeah.
Ouch. I would get the white controller. I just wouldn't do the console.
See,
I could do that too if they sold the white controller independently.
I don't like white. I don't like white. Oh. Anything. Like, I just I don't like the. I like it dark. Like, I don't know, like, everything that I own is dark. Like, the TV, the only thing I own that's white is my iPad. That's about it.
But, I'm officially changing my Spartan armor to white.
Oh, gosh.
But no, it's like, I don't personally care for the white Xbox. I mean, if it came out with black, I would like it, honestly.
Dude, better. Your logo is mostly white.
It's true.
That is true. That is very true.
It's like 80% white.
Yeah, but that's gonna change.
You just look at your logo.
He's like, gonna hire somebody and he's gonna change it to a dark blue.
That's basically what's gonna happen. I don't have a background for it yet.
Oh,
but,
my gosh.
But yeah, no, I just, everything that I own is just black. Everybody seems to like it, though. I mean, who was it that I seen? They took a white Xbox and they gold plated it with white and gold. Now that looks pretty sick.
That's cool.
That'd be pretty
cool.
That was
really sick.
Yeah, that sounds, I mean, having the gold accent, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. But for me, it's just, nah, I'll stick with the black. And I'll be getting the Halo 5 console when it comes out. It'll sit right next to my Xbox 360 Halo 4 edition.
Mm. Still got mine somewhere. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know where it is.
Yeah. I have all the custom Halo Xbox editions except for the super, super rare orange Halo Xbox original and the blue Xbox, which it doesn't have Halo on it, so I hesitate to call it a Halo Xbox, but it's technically classified as one, so.
Well, wasn't the orange one, they didn't come out with it? Like, it was an idea and they never really released it? Like, only certain people had it that were in the company?
The green edition was the one that got released, and the orange one is super, super, super rare.
I love that see-through green Xbox. That's still my favorite Halo Xbox. I love the way the Halo 4 one looks, but
I didn't know they did
see-through
a
green is awesome.
I didn't know they did a blue one. So the original one.
Yeah, the original Xbox. Europe, it was a Canada. No, it was a Canadian exclusive.
Oh,
Canada. Yeah.
You would think they would do red for them.
We are getting all kinds of HR complaints, I'm sure.
I'll let our HR know.
It'd be interesting to see if they took, like, they went back to, like, the old classic see-through plastic and on the Xbox One Halo 5 console. That'd be interesting to see what they would do with that.
The problem with the Xbox One is, like, you know, the bit with the fan in, like, the rest, the bit all to the left of that is just, like, empty space. The big part of Xbox is just the massive fan, and the rest is just empty, so the Xbox One is not a good-looking console, to be fair.
Yeah, I hope we get a redesign at E3, and that's what they announce, but
they can redesign.
It just seems really early in the life cycle to do that.
Yeah,
they can redo the UI while they're at it. Oh, God, it's awful.
What would be unique that I've always wanted to see, but as it's probably never going to happen apart from mods, but like you have like an actual, like say for instance the Halo 5 Xbox comes out, have it like an orange and blue, maybe like you'll have like an orange side for Chief and a blue side for Locke, and have two lights kind of coming through the plastic, kind of
that's cool,
glowing. That'd be, but you have to do it right. Like you can't have that like just light that you see. Like you have to have it good.
Yeah,
I wanted that glow in the Halo 4 console and the controller. Like when you got the blue kind of properly coming through on the Halo 4 console, pretty cool. But I kind of wish that was like more widespread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sounds on the Halo 4 console were really weird. Like,
yeah,
they couldn't have picked the worst sounds for the console. Like, seriously,
console sounds just haven't really worked to me. Like, the Gears of War one was really cool. The Reach one made sense because it was overshield and whatever else. But yeah, overall, I've just been kind of I don't think this works.
Like Halo 4 is just like duh, 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 duh. So what?
Yeah, you can't be quiet and turn that thing on.
Nope, you cannot.
Gonna wake up the neighbor real quick.
Yeah, not very quiet on that one. The next thing is, I can't remember if we touched on this or not, so I'm gonna bring it up again. But GameStop Italy showed the official box art for the Collector's Limited and the Limited Editions of Halo 5, and it actually looks pretty freaking cool.
Oh, I want it. I want it so bad.
I have my Collector's Limited pre-ordered, dude.
GameStop apparently is not doing purchases anymore for Collector's Edition. My friend went in there to go purchase his because he never actually had, like, he wanted to pay in full. That way, I don't know why, he's weird that way, but he wanted to pay in full. And they go, yeah, we're not selling it anymore. They go, GameStop is canceling widespread. So you may want to take a trip to your local GameStop and see if they are selling it. If not, you may want to head to Amazon quick, because from what I've heard, they went quick. There was a select number per store, and ours apparently reached it, and they canceled after that.
Well, I pre-ordered mine on the day it got announced.
Yep.
Yeah, I was like a couple weeks after mine. I got mine, but dude, the box art looks sick. I love that honeycomb.
It's like Master Chief's visor.
Yeah, like it's really cool, but I like the blue that kind of transverses into orange, I guess. That's what it was. Like the on the sides kind of.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The box itself looks pretty cool.
It does. And that's one of the things I've done with all of my collector's editions so far is I've kept the box, and it's usually where I put some stuff in. So I know one of the boxes is my computer games and DVDs case, and then the other, I have another purpose for another one. But the one that's been the coolest so far to me was the Halo 3 ODST one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That box is sick.
Yeah. So, Wang, what are you hoping to see in the Halo 5 Collector's Edition?
Do you know what I want to see? The return of. I'd like for them to eventually release like an actual helmet you could wear. Because there was that one with Halo 3. It doesn't really, you know, you can put it on a small child, but that's it. I want actual armor we could buy piece by piece, and not like a full armor set. You know, we could just buy the shoulders or just the helmet and like additions to the helmet, and we can all like clip them on and everything. Like, so we can, you know, it might take the fun out of building them, but it'd still be cool to have like actual properly made, like well made stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
And I'd also like to see the return of 343's own, like Bungie had the recon thing and nobody can have it, and just Bungie had it. And I'd like to see 343 do that. And just like eventually when it starts trickling out, like start giving it to people for prizes and stuff. Because I think it really brings people back. Like really kind of excites. There's a bit of mystery behind the game, isn't it? Like, oh, how do you get whatever it is? Or, mm-hmm. you know, that guy's got whatever the armor is. It's like, oh my god, dude, what's that? It's a 343 exclusive. Whoa, man.
Yeah.
So, stuff like that. Yeah.
If we get any armor, anything like helmets or chests or whatever it is, I hope they make it to where it is limited. We're not going to get it in the game a year edition year later.
Yeah,
right.
Like, that really pissed me off. I mean, granted, FOTUS we never got back. That was through the console itself. Only those people had it.
Everybody in Master Chief Collection has it.
Yeah, and I don't see it anywhere. Like, even when I play Halo 4, I never see it.
I've teabagged someone with it earlier, so somebody's one person's got it.
I know someone else has been wearing some photos as well, so there are people that use it. Laird did correct me in the chat, and it was the Halo Reach Legendary Edition, not ODST, because ODST didn't have one.
I was going to say, that's some limited stuff. Yeah. I've never even heard that.
Oops. But the nice thing about ODST, the Reach one... ODST had
that controller, didn't it?
Came with a green one like it did in Halo 3.
There was a pack you could get too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was a pack you could get that had the game, the headset, and the controller. That was separate from the 360. And you could get the 360 and it would come with the console and the controller.
Oh, wait. I had that.
Well, there you go.
I had that, yeah. Oh, sweet.
Lol. But, yeah, it was the Reach one. And the reason why I like the Reach one was because it actually looked like a crate from Halo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That was pretty cool. I really want
that. Wasn't the console. That was the...
No, that was a limited edition.
Yeah, but the console was just like a bluish grayish box, wasn't it?
It was gray. It was all gray.
Yeah.
It was like sword base, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I'm happy that we're getting a limited edition that comes in a big box. Well, seems to be a big box. Compared to the Halo 4 one. That thing, such a disappointment. It really was.
The thing with special editions is, because you're buying something like that, it shouldn't be all like digital exclusive stuff. I mean, it's nice. And I think that stuff should still be included. But you need to have something physical. It's like, I spent the money to invest in this game, and this is what I get for it. Perfect example.
Yeah.
The Halo 3 Legendary Edition. Oh my freaking gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, who else has the Master Chief helmet sitting on their, yeah, on their bookshelf? Well.
Yep. Sits right behind me. Watches over me as I dominate fools. It's my spirit guide.
The Reach one was okay. I mean, having the whole Noble Fire team there, I thought that was pretty cool. Having seen that this box is a box, I'm kind of excited of what's going to be in there.
It looks drastically smaller compared to the box. I know that was just a display only deal, like the giant purple Halo box with the honeycomb stuff around it.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I see, I'm like, it shrunk. What did they do? Like I wanted it. Like I honestly wanted to see it the size of like the Titanfall box. That thing was, oh my gosh, the collector's edition. That thing, like I had to put it in the back of my truck. It wouldn't fit in the car.
Lol.
I just want these things to start coming with digital games or the option to, because I don't really do the disc based stuff, but for Halo I do. So I do, yeah, disc based and the digital. It just be nice to just be able to have the physical case, because I love having the physical case on my shelf, but I don't want to keep popping in and popping out a disc anymore.
Yeah, I've been all digital. I've got them all installed to my hard drive now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's 2015. Let's get with the times.
Yeah, get the future, Jesus.
Yeah, this ain't no 2005.
Yeah.
That's my 2 cents.
I mean, I know I'm going to own 2 copies of Halo 5, though.
Yep, me too.
I'll say, like, I was really skeptical on the digital download deal. Yeah, like, I'm one of those people that has to have a disc version of it. I don't know what it is. I'm really weird about it, but I have to have a box and I have to have a case and a disc. Like, that's how I am. But when I went digital with MCC, I didn't have to worry about installing it. Now that we have to actually install the disc, you know, that's going to take time. Yep. Then you got the updates.
And yeah, I just want to play.
Yeah, like I just want to grab in, go in, and just start playing. And that's what I did with MCC. Granted, it wasn't exactly how that was supposed to be, but I went in there and started playing as soon as I got home from the midnight, or well, yeah, the midnight launch, which was over here. But like I want that. Like, granted, I'll go to midnight launch, get my box, go $120 or $150 down the road, get home, and start playing.
if the basic disc package is not included in the limited collector's edition, I have to buy 3 copies. Like, just my inner nerd paranoia, I have to have all the different cases, and it will drive me insane if that is not in there.
I'm assuming
I've got that problem as well.
Yeah, I do too. I'm assuming based on the look, though, it's gonna be that way.
Well, didn't they show off the actual case?
No. Dude,
wasn't it? I thought there was an image that popped up somewhere showing the case.
Right, so you have the limited edition, which is just the case, and then you have the limited collector's edition, which is the box. And there wasn't anything really specific whether as to the limited edition case was in the collector's limited edition. But since it's collector's limited edition and there's a limited edition case, then it makes sense that the limited edition case is going to be in the collector's limited edition box.
I like my solo cases, though.
Was that hectic enough for you to follow?
Yes, followed with frustration.
Wayne, time you with me, right?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, no problem. I'm good, man.
Sure, let's go with that.
It's like, what's your guy's problem?
I think I fell in love with steelbook cases from Halo since I seen it with Halo 2. I love steelbook cases. I don't know why.
They're really nice, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, they're so sweet.
It's satisfying to hold. And
love just, my ooh. MCC one.
Yep. Oh yes. Very much so.
Looks so nice next to the basic MCC case.
I really love hard things in my hand. It's so really nice.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, oh, man. All right.
That took an unexpected turn. Wow.
Oh, that's great.
Oh.
Oh,
that's internet high five.
Jeez. Oh, I don't know what you're all thinking.
Oh, my gosh.
Whatever you're into, mate.
Oh, man.
Well played, sir. Well played. Getting back on the rails. the month is coming to a close, and we're supposed to get Relic and ODST coming out really soon. The content update for May is also supposed to come, so as far as we know, that's going to be out next week sometime. If you were...
I want to know what we get in the update.
Or should they just tell us stuff, you know?
Yeah.
What's help?
Right?
Some of the time...
Like, what's going on? Sorry, with that Spartan Strike thing, it's just like, it's out. It was like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But there you go.
I know. One of the things that I think with the patches and the content update is because they're addressing so many issues, it's almost like, okay, what can we squeeze in the last minute before we have to send this off for certification? So they probably never exactly know until they actually send it off what's been fixed, would be my guess.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
That's what the certification thing's all about, isn't it? Then just double checking.
Pretty much, making sure that it doesn't crash the game, which, you know, that still happens every now and then.
So if there's one thing I've learned from these patches is that it breaks the game the first day. Then the second day or third day around it comes out, it actually starts working a lot better because I guess people aren't, like, they're downloading it and they don't, like, it's just starting to get into the fixing. I don't know what it is, but, like, second or third day, it pops out perfect. I mean, when they popped out that last update, it was not.
I think the best way to sort that problem out is don't release the game before it's ready.
Yeah.
Nah.
I think everyone's been saying that
although
over and over again.
It wasn't 343's fault, in which we all know it's not their fault. They did a good job of what they had. Just Microsoft, the bastards that they are, just made them push out before Christmas, and it had a year to go, like, at least. It was just horrendous for them, and they've taken all the blame for it, and it sucks.
That's one of the things about working for Microsoft.
Yep.
Big mother Microsoft.
Like, you also got to look at it, too. You're taking a game that's two generations old and another game that's a generation, or two games, or three games, actually, that's a generation old, and you're bringing on the new hardware. Like, you're going to got to have to expect there's going to be some things that are not going to work out quite well. Yeah. You know, the fact that they're bringing in CE, that didn't have a multiplayer on console at all, apart from split screen. That was, I mean, granted, you could LAN and all that stuff, but, like, it didn't have any sort of actual online multiplayer. Like, that's really cool, the fact that they could bring that into this generation and be able to do that. Like, people are going to give 343 so much flack. But you got to look at the positive side of this, too. It's like, they're trying to put, they basically put four games on one disc, porting these other games into it, and that's never been done before. That's never been done before.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a massive undertaking.
Yeah.
Oh, completely. It's unbelievable. And it's not even their full team on it. It's like half the team. Probably not even that. They just got the black eye for it.
Right.
Like, it just kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Well, I like to think that they've put their like a vast amount, an unbelievable amount of effort into fixing this. Green Skull's just done a video on this, if you haven't seen it, by the way, about this whole topic. And it's really good. And he explains it beautifully. And so, yeah, go and check that out if you want to go and see something interesting.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was something I was thinking about talking about this was he went through, he actually brought up a game developer blog for Fez when they actually went to do their game port to the PS4, I believe. And they went through the details on what they had to go through to drastically change the underlying game code, how you have to address the graphics engine separately, and then you have to go through a whole series of bug squashes because you're working on different hardware architectures. You have to know the ins and outs of the hardware details. It's not an easy thing to just forklift code between different environments. You can't do that. And I mean, I've had my own fair share of coding experience in the past, and it's a massive undertaking. People don't understand really the depths that you go into for or undertaking such a drastic project.
It's not just like file port.
No,
it's like it's unbelievable. And people just think, oh, it's, you know, it's easy,
right?
And it's not, like, at all. It's like an unbelievable task that they're doing. Yeah, what we've all said a thousand times.
Yeah, last week's Cannon Fodder went over a little bit of details on Remnant, which we learned last week was the name for the Relic remake, and there's a little bit of lore here, and I'm going to shout out to Toa Freak or Halo Cannon And he actually did.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, he did a video on this.
My boy, Toafri.
We tried to get him on last night for our Hunter Truth episode, but technology didn't work in our favor, and he didn't get the message until the morning. But we're going to get him back on for a conclusion of Hunter Truth at some point, probably. Maybe at the end. And I mean, that might be an opportunity for us to get the archive on as well. Or some other people that we know are huge into the lore. But one of the things that the Cannon Fodder went through last week, and I'm a little surprised this week's isn't up yet, but is a little bit of details on Remnant. And I want to read the description here that kind of goes a little bit into the lore of it. A secluded island hidden along the coastal regions of Delta Halo, Remnant features a towering and iconic Forerunner megalith weathered by untold millennia. Resembling other artifacts on Delta Halo, this enigmatic megalith became the site of comprehensive research by Limson Pioneer Groups. Local inscriptions cataloged by the Limson Pioneers Group indicates that this towering megalith was constructed to pay tribute to warrior servants who perished during the final siege of Forerunner colonies by ancient human invaders. After the flood had overwhelmed key human strongholds, their incursions into Forerunner territory became violent, as they attempted to contain the parasite throughout preemptive failbreak measures such as planetary immolation. I never heard that word before. The Forerunners struck back with devastating force, and many lives were lost on both sides.
See, is Grimbrother 1, is he an actual employee of 343, or yeah. is he just a forum person?
No, he works for 343.
Oh, Ace. I love him. I love his stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's such a good idea to bring that onto like the blogs, because there's always these gaps that people always wanted filling in. And he's doing that. That's Ace. Like, really good job. Like, really good idea to put him on the blog roll.
Yeah, he was a great acquisition to 343, in my opinion. And taking a look at the stats, what has been reported in the past for Halo games, I'll know what it's been like for Halo 4 and probably not as much so for MCC. But there were a lot of copies that were bought of Halo that didn't reflect any online connectivity whatsoever. So
yeah,
looking at just the sales numbers for a game like Halo 2 and Halo 3, you have so many copies of the game that were sold, but you don't see that many people actually playing online.
Yes.
So that just shows you how influential the campaign and the story behind Halo is. And it's cool to just see that kind of get expanded upon officially by the devs.
Yeah, of course, yeah. There's this one question that I still really need them to answer is, you know, at a Halo Anniversary, in that terminal, there's that ship that crashes.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that ship? Like, it's never been answered.
That's true.
Like, what species is it? Like, who is it?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
So it's one of the many unanswered questions, and I think it's something really deep and important behind it, because if it wasn't important, they wouldn't have shown it. So it means something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And now that you mentioned it, we haven't heard anything about that at all.
No.
Because
spooky.
Remember that Guilty Spark tried to make contact, but he never did.
Yep. And it was unlike a ship. Wow. It looks similar to the you know, in Halo 2. In Kyra Station, you've got those boarding parties. It looks similar to one of those ships, but it also looks similar to a Reaper ship from Mass Effect.
Yeah.
But in Mass Effect 3, there is a tiny Pillar of Autumn in one of the cutscenes. It might be Mass Effect 2. So it might be a shout out to them. I don't know.
It could be.
But that's one of the... Yeah, that's one way I've rationalized it.
Huh.
So Reaper enemies confirmed for Halo 5?
Oh, gosh.
Yep. EA crossover.
The Flood are Reapers. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
No.
There's a different version of Reapers.
No.
Oh, man. That's crazy. I never even heard about that. That's crazy. All right.
Oh, boy.
I'm a huge Mass Effect nut job, too.
Nut job?
Well, dude, I love Mass Effect. Like, when it comes to like the two games I enjoy the most story, it's definitely Mass Effect and Halo.
Gotcha.
Like, I think out of any game franchises I've played, those two have just expansive story. Uh-huh. Like, and it goes on into books, which is crazy. Granted, it's not as lengthy as Star Wars, but
right.
Oh, man.
Gotcha.
But is it though? How many Star Wars books are there?
There's a lot, dude. Thousands.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's hundreds of books.
Oh, okay.
I just know this from people telling me.
There's no point that I can extend upon because I thought Halo had more books.
No. Like, Star Wars... And the thing that's really aggravating about that, and we're going on a tangent, but, like, they basically confirmed all the books aren't canon, which is...
The only thing aside from the movies that's canon is the Attack of the Clones cartoon. That's it.
Yep. Ugh. And the new Star Wars Rebels.
Right.
Which,
that too.
Then that's... Which is really annoying. You know, my friend's into the Star Wars books. Like, I think he's read over 40 books so far.
Fucking hell, that's massive.
Good God. It's like, how do you have time for that?
I mean, that's how some people spend their time. That's how people spend their time.
Yeah.
I won't bore us with the Hunt the Signal stuff. I'll just say that it's been concluded. We'll cover it next week. Because I know Wang Time, since he's living over in the UK, and we usually do a late podcast here in the States, he probably would prefer to go to bed. So we're going to cut that discussion for next week. And there's a couple more things I want to hit before we wrap things up. First off is we've been featured in the Griffball Hub comics for the last 3 weeks.
Hey!
Yeah, Riley Fox has been doing a pretty interesting job, I'll say. It's great. It's great. They're actually really, really funny. And the latest one is Truthy. And this is actually kind of a throwback to, I think, not the one that we just recorded, but the one before, talking about Hunt the Truth. And they do dramatic readings on there. I don't know if you want to do a dramatic reading of this real quick. If anyone listens to the Griffball Hubcast, every week, Riley Fox, who's one of the co-hosts over there, actually draws a comic. And they do a dramatic reading of the comic. Or they...
I'll let them do that. I'm going to mess it up somehow.
but this is us. I think they would love to hear us do it.
So what's the comic? Let's have a look.
I just linked it. I mean, Bio can play himself and I can play me. And then Haas, if one of you want to do Bio's friend, he just has one line.
Oh. Bio's friend.
I don't even know who that is, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that person... is. I just know me and you. I don't know who.
Oh, I got this.
All right.
Unless Wang Time really wants to do it.
Wait, who am I? Who am I playing?
You're guy with green wings.
Why are they all got rabbit? Why are they all rabbit? I don't get it.
It's not a rabbit. It's a wolf because it's by a wolf.
Yeah, it's me.
By a rabbit.
All right.
The were-rabbit.
That's a thing. That's a thing now. We just made that a thing.
Oh, yeah, boy.
do you want to play the green guy Wing Time, or do you want Haas to do that?
I will play the green guy. I'll play the green guy.
Yeah, he has one line down there in the bottom. You see it?
Okay, I got this. Okay,
all right. Bio, you start.
Dusty, I found someone that knows the truth.
Wow, you got to start that over again?
Wow. Dusty, I found someone who knows the truth.
What? Really?
Yes, and she says that she can show us the truth.
It's not...
It's not B.S. Angel again.
That's good.
Dusty says dead dragon... What? Dusty, this is dead dragon. She says
you're
she can show
failing
us the
at
truth.
This, dude.
I'm gonna butcher it up, dude.
I should be Beowulf.
All right, do that line again real quick.
Dusty, this is Dead Dragon. She says she can show us the truth.
Well, then lead the way.
Behold the truth!
Oh my god. The truth is a giant slurpee?
Wolfie, next time be more specific. Wang Time, you are on point.
Oh my god.
Wow.
That is epic.
Oh.
Oh God, I'm so confused.
I'm confused too.
It's the Slurpee canon.
I don't know.
It's a Slurpee canon.
I honestly don't know.
Can we confirm this?
Slurpee is canon.net.
This is too much. I think Halo's just gone too far. I think I've just been like so thrown off. I think it's the Comic Sans. Just can't compute right now what's going on.
I'm still
when I see this, like, it was so off-putting. I'm like, what?
I'm still trying to figure out why I'm wearing a freaking safari hat.
I'm trying to figure out why there's a giant Slurpee. I don't get it.
That's actually just a slurp. Trademark.
Figure out what the truth is. Oh, is this my hunt truth? I get it. I don't understand the Slurpee, though.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask him on that, because I don't understand it either.
I get the truth part, not the rest of everything else.
I'm missing it.
The only thing I noticed is I butchered that so bad.
You kind of
did. That does not put that in perspective.
Wayne Time freaking nailed his part, and you just completely failed.
Oh, wait. No, it was like the most manliest scream ever.
That was awesome, dude. You freaking nailed that on point. All right. Oh, now we have something else for our community to start making fun of us with. Anyway, we have a couple submissions that we haven't read for in a little bit. So I'm going to go through those real quick, and then we will close out the show for tonight. William Johnson writes in, if you guys had the ability to design the Halo statue upcoming in the Halo 5 Guardians Limited Collector's Editions, what would it be? Should we be worried that we haven't heard much about the Halo TV series yet? Is it too soon, or will they announce or show footage at E3?
What the fuck?
If I could design the statue, if it was only going to be one person, like, ultimately, I think it's going to be both teams or one of the teams. But if it's going to be just one thing, if I could make it what I want it to be, I want it to be Master Chief ground pounding, and the ground is kind of like rippled and maybe kind of exploding out of it. I think that'd be cool looking.
Huh. Interesting. I think for me, if I had to pick something that it was going to be, I'm going to do the cop-out answer, honestly, and say blue team, just because of how everything is going down with how the collection is kind of making progress. Or not the collection, Halo 5 is making progress. So that just makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
Unless there's something similar to the diorama that they could do for something that's Halo 5 related, maybe have a backdrop of San Helios, which is, I think, what everyone is agreed upon is what the background of this game is mostly taking place on. Other than that, though, blue team seems like the most obvious answer, or some kind of team statue.
Yeah, if I could design a statue, I'd honestly go all out. I would honestly have Locke and Chief going at it on top of some sort of St. Healy building. That's kind of rubble, I guess you can say. And then have blue team and Chief's team kind of going at it. Locke's team, not Chief's team.
I think that just might be too much, though.
But the thing is, though, they could do it. They could do it. It's not impossible. I mean, if they put a lot of time into it, especially that the fact that this thing's $250, they could do it.
So we're gonna say goodbye to Wing Time real quick, because turns out he has a little emergency to take care of.
It's been a pleasure, guys. Thank you very much. Sorry for this abrupt goodbye, but something's come up. So thank you very much for having me on the show, guys.
Yeah, you want to plug your stuff real quick before you leave?
At WangTim3, YouTube, WangTim3, and I think that's it, really. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, so thanks, guys. I got a bounce, sorry.
All right, not a problem, dude. But yeah, so check him out, the WangTime with the 3 at the end for his Twitter and YouTube. And the WangTime3 is also the YouTube account for Ultimate Halo. You can check out the his videos there, and then Halo Archive is where to go to find the articles as well, so... Make sure you check all that stuff out. Wayne Time, hopefully you're listening to this afterwards. It was a pleasure having you on. Sorry that you had to abruptly leave so quickly, but it was a blast, dude. Back to the question. Should we be worried that we haven't heard much about the TV series? Didn't we talk about that a couple weeks ago?
Yeah. Yep, we did. I wouldn't necessarily say we'd have to be worried about it. I think it's going to be a giant opening. Like, kind of like, let it be Comic-Con, let it be E3. I think it's going to be something that's going to kind of blow up, especially like Steven Spielberg working on this. Like, it's, he doesn't usually go on anything that usually is not a big project. So yeah, I think it's going to be massive.
I mean, it's Steven Spielberg. It's Steven's freaking Spielberg. So of course it's going to be something huge.
Look at the work he's done on everything. Like, you got Indiana Jones, Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, the list that he has, it's ridiculous. The War of the Worlds, like, he's done so much stuff that's, like, space-related and aliens and everything like that. It honestly, the only thing I'm honestly wondering and kind of nervous about is the story plot with this. It's like, where is he going? Is he doing the Halo 5? Is he doing something like a backstory, kind of like what Hunt the Truth is doing? Or are we going to see, like, it just makes me wonder what they're going to go and do with it.
Yeah, it's going to be really weird.
It's going to be out before Halo 5, right? We're assuming it's coming out afterwards?
We don't know. They haven't said anything.
It's supposed to be
I thought
it was supposed to be something that comes out before the game.
I thought it was too, if I remember correctly. I thought they said it was like fall. Well, I don't know. It makes me wonder when it is going to pop up. But didn't they said fall of this year?
Well, technically, October 27th is fall.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, winter doesn't start until December 23rd, which I think is really weird still, but...
I would think, honestly, they would do it before to kind of get the hype going for Halo 5. I would think. You know, great. Like, it's Halo-related. It's on, what was it, Showtime?
Showtime.
Yeah, Showtime. I mean, they're going to try to grab an audience that they don't necessarily have. I mean, that's going to be a huge marketing thing for them, too, if it does pull through, like, big-wise. So, I would think it would be before.
I wish it would be on Cinemax. They could do so much more creative.
I wish it was on HBO. Like, I know HBO is, like, a big deal, but... Like, Showtime doesn't have an app or anything. You can go and rewatch it. Like, they air it, and then... I mean, granted, if you have DVR or something, you can record it, but... Yeah.
So, one thing I think that could vouch for it being after the game is it's a TV series. So, it's going to be quite a long-running series. Like, you're going to have at least 10 episodes for, like, maybe the first half, and then you're going on to the rest of the series. And who knows if it's going to go past one season. Doesn't really seem like it's heading that way right now, but who knows? We haven't heard that much. Based on that, it would make sense that with the Halo TV show, it could be something along the lines of a Spartan Ops type thing, whereas you play through the game, and then a couple weeks later, this TV show comes on where it adds to the story of what happens in Halo 5.
I would prefer if they did something kind of on the lines of... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I knew you were going to say that.
where it can be its own thing, and then maybe the episode after Halo 5 comes out, there's like, oh, here's a tie-in. Here's like the after effects, just like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did. I think we all know something is going to come out in 2016 that's Halo. Maybe it's an expansion. Maybe it's a story expansion. Maybe it's the new version of Spartan Ops. God knows what. But then every time that happens, they can do a tie-in. You know, a preset and then a after. It's worked really well, and if it'd be a great way to keep people learning the lore and taking their understanding of the universe beyond the game.
Yeah. I don't know. I am kind of concerned that we haven't heard anything, though. We haven't heard crap. Like, there hasn't been...
With how much is coming up in the next 3 months, there should be no concern for lack of news.
Do we really think we're going to get something in 2016?
I do. Yeah. I personally do.
We've gotten something every year.
Yes, it's going to be the 3-year dev cycle, blah, 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 blah. But that, I think, is going to be for their primary game.
But it's Microsoft milking the game.
Exactly. I mean, yes, everybody's doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
As the old saying goes, everybody's doing it.
That's a good point.
We've seen something every single year.
I don't think we're going to. I think from Halo, we won't see a major game release like a Halo 6 every year, but we'll get expanded universe. Maybe a Halo Wars 2, maybe something along the lines of ODST where it's like a small group that kind of peeled off after Halo 5 was almost ready, and they just go on to the next thing. That's honestly what I expect to happen. I think Halo 6 is going to be in 2018, but everything else, we're just going to get something big that Microsoft can announce come fall or whatever, And there it will be.
I don't think we're going to see anything major game release. I mean, like, they've kind of held it on with, like, Anniversary. You know, we had Halo 4, or no, we had Halo CE Anniversary, then we had Halo 4, and then we had, what was after that? Spartan Assault, I think it was? Yeah, we had Spartan Assault, and then Halo Master Chief Collection, and then we had Spartan Strike. So, like, we have always had something each year. I don't think we're... It makes me wonder, though, what we're going to see kind of like a middle game. Like, they're not going to be able to do, like, another MCC or a remaster edition. Like, they're all out. Unless they do Reach.
They're not going to do Reach.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but...
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do Reach. Next one that we have is from Spartan LZ, and this is the last email submission. We do have a voicemail, but I'll save that for another one because I don't have it ready to go. This one comes in... I said Spartan LZ already. Bleh. He says, sorry, guys, not to be a jerk because I like your show and you know that, but it's super annoying how people are pronouncing the name. Check out the link. It's like Giro, not or Giro, not Giro or Gerard or Giro. how to pronounce your Giro?
Benjamin Giro's name.
Benjamin Giro.
It's weird. Like, it's like, I don't understand. I've always said Gerard. Like, I've always said that. I don't know why, but I think that's how I personally take it. I've heard people say it numerous different ways. I've heard people say it Geriod or something like that. I'm like, what? That doesn't even make any sense.
That sounds butchered.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I just, like, I try to say it how he says it in the podcast. And if I forget to say it that way, then I'm sorry. It's hard to say names sometimes. And it makes, it's not out of the complete possibility. Well, I just stuttered there a lot. It's not out of the complete realm of possibility where people are going to say Gerard, because there is a D at the end.
People call me colon all the time. I don't know. It just happens.
Colonoscopy?
Oh, you did it.
I did. I did.
Oh.
I just did.
No,
I'm going to go cry in the corner.
That's it for now. Hey. What?
No, that was just an awkward ending.
Gotcha. That's it for our show tonight. Again, thank you to Wang Time for coming on, and sorry that he had to abruptly depart from our presence, but it was great having him on. It was great to hear what he's doing with the Ultimate Halo stuff, and you guys really should check that out. It was something that I got led on to early on. Honestly, they've just been pumping out content left and right, and it's pretty epic what they've been doing over there. So just do a Google search for Ultimate Halo. You'll find their YouTube channel. You'll find their Twitter account. And there's a pretty big team over there working on stuff. So I highly recommend you go check them out. So please do so and let them know that we sent you, and let him know that you heard him over here on the podcast. We will be back next week doing our next episode of Hunt the Truth. And we also have a little surprise in store for you guys. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. Can't really say what it is yet, but you guys will hear next week. I would be paying attention to Twitter and the website around the middle of the week.
Tease it.
Yes, I'm teasing it. So make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out our game night, which is going to be happening tomorrow, hosted by the one and only Godzilla T. It's this.
No. This.
Okay, that's why I was going to ask. Because I know he said he was not going to be available for a weekend. So Godzilla will not be hosting it this weekend. In fact, Haas will be hosting it. And again, if Xbox Live issues and MCC party issues hold off for the day, then we'll be playing Master Chief Collection at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow night, which is Friday, which we do every Friday, or at least attempt to do every Friday. So make sure you check that out. And of course, we do our regular show on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time as well. And also our Hunt the Truth podcast, which we'll only be doing another 4 episodes, really. Maybe 3. I don't know if it's going to go right up to the Sunday before E3 or if it's going to be the week before. So we at least have 3 more.
I think it wraps up.
Huh?
I think it wraps up at E3.
Yeah, so that would be 4. Because that'd be the Sunday immediately preceding the Monday for the Xbox press briefing. So that would leave us with 4 more episodes of Hunt the Truth. At least 3 more, but likely 4. So make sure you check those out. We do those on Wednesday nights around 9 o'clock on Eastern Time. make sure you check out our social networks, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitch. We already mentioned the Twitch. And make sure you check out our podcast network. We are part of thepodcast.com. That is P-O-D-K-A-S-T. And make sure you check out the other shows like Guardian Radio, Critzcast, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. They're great podcasts to listen to. If you're just looking for some other content to fill your ears with for the week, or if you're looking for other gaming podcasts to get into, and maybe you're interested in EVE Online, maybe you're interested in Team Fortress 2 or Destiny. And if you are, I highly recommend you go check out those shows because they're really well done. I highly recommend you head on over there and check out all the podcasts on the network. That will do it for us tonight. Thank you everyone for tuning in. And again, Wank Time. Hope everything is going the right, dude. Thanks again for being on the show. And until then, keep on fragging. What do we want to frag tonight?
Limited editions.
I was going to say Bio's horrible reading.
Bio's dramatic reading.
Yeah, Bio's dramatic reading because it fails.